Jesus, he's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises wherever I go. I'm singing his praises wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
Get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Romans chapter 12, please, tonight. Romans chapter number 12. These first two weeks of the month, we're going to be doing the preaching and the singing on the subject of music for this month of May. And so we'll be taking care of that these first 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, we have the Nichols family coming to sing. And my brother, Pastor Becker, the other Pastor Becker, preaching the third week. And then Brother Alvin Martinez coming the last week of the month. And as I mentioned, we have music available for you. It's important. This subject of music is so important in our lives. And there's going to be a lot of preaching about that. You say, how can we spend 4 weeks talking about the subject of music? Well, honestly, we could spend a whole lot more on that, but we don't want to make you go to sleep and keep you awake with that. But there's so much that the Bible says about the subject of music that we're going to look at, and you'll get kind of different viewpoints of different areas, different verses or challenges that the Lord always gives to us. And we've had the Musical May services here for many years now, and it's so important that we have this area and our life right. And we're going to talk about that, kind of setting the groundwork for this subject of our music, but really the subject tonight is going to be somewhat setting the groundwork for having a surrendered life in the area of our music. The title of the message, we'll look at the verses here in a minute, is this, and I want you to be thinking about this. This question, is anything in your life off limits to God? Is anything in your life off limits to God where you say, God, you cannot touch that area of my life. That's mine. You can't change it. Don't mess with it. It's what I like. That's who I am. Don't change it. We have a lot of Christians that way today. I am where I am, but I'm not changing. I'm not moving. This is who I am, and God has to accept us that way. And the subject of our music is important because it's an area of surrender in our lives. Are you surrendered in your life in the area of your music? I am not the most musical person, so I'm not teaching the subject from a musical standpoint of the notes and the harmony and all the stuff when it comes to that, but from a biblical standpoint of surrender. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know the verses. Would you stand to your feet as we read these verses? Get a little exercise. Don't fall asleep tonight. It's cool enough so you can't fall asleep. That'll keep you shivering, keep you awake. Hopefully not. But Romans 12, verse number 1, and we'll read verse number 2 as well. Why don't we read these out loud together? All right, let's do that. Ready and begin. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to have our hearts right and in tune with you. I pray that every time we come before you in prayer, every time we come before you in the Word of God or in a church service, that we would want to be changed to be more like you, that if you would reveal anything in our life that's not right from the Word of God or by the Holy Spirit's direction, I pray that we'd be willing to change, to be right with you. May that be our desire. May that be our actions as well. We love you. Thank you for the night and the service we have. Pray for your blessing on the message now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned already, the message is really just laying the groundwork of the area of surrender in our lives. And I want to look at a few verses, and we'll get into some areas of music, of course, tonight, but really just about this subject of surrender. As you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. As a Christian, have you presented your body as a living sacrifice? That is not talking about salvation. Salvation is one moment, the free gift of God that you receive by faith. But after that, it's areas of surrender every day of your life before the Lord. and you say, God, my life is yours today. What I say, may what I say be surrendered to you. What I think, what I look at, what I do in my life, may you present your body every single day. Do you do that? You say, God, my life is yours today. And not just saying it to say some kind of a speech, but truly presenting your life every day as a living, what's the next word? Sacrifice. A sacrifice before the Lord. And you offer that before God. See, to present your bodies is offering your life, the Bible says. So you present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Every single day before the Lord and say, God, I present my body, my life, my everything before you. And the Bible says this, it continues on and it says, holy, acceptable unto who? Guess what? Not acceptable to the world. Not acceptable to you. But our life should be wholly acceptable unto God. That every day I'd say, God, may my life be acceptable. May it be holy before you. See, to be acceptable is to be well-pleasing, fully agreeable. That every day of my life would be well-pleasing in the sight of not me, not my coworkers, not my family members, not everyone else, but may my life be acceptable, holy, right, sinless, and pleasing in the sight of God. Is that your desire today? See, we're not going to reach any level of perfection, but may we every day present our bodies before God and say, God, I want my life to be pleasing in your sight. I want you to be pleased with everything that I say or do. As I asked you before, I'll come back to this thought a few times, is anything in your life off limits to God? We're going to specifically apply that in the area of music, in the area of surrender. Is my music holy, acceptable, and pleasing to the Lord? We're going to come back to that a few more times. The Bible says this, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. It's the basic thing you can do in your Christian life and say, God, my life is yours. My hands are yours, my eyes are yours, my body is yours. Everything that I have is yours, God, and it's my reasonable service to offer my life before the Lord. It continues on in verse number 2. After you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, it says this, and be not conformed to this what? This world. We have too many Christians that are conformed to this world. Too many Christians that if you did not see them in church on Sunday, you would not know that they are Christians by the way that they dress, the way that they talk, by what they listen to, by the places that they go. Why? Because too many Christians are conformed to this world. They're fitting into the mold that the world says you need to act and think and look, and we're conformed to the image of this world. To be conformed is to conform oneself to another's pattern. To conform yourself to another's pattern. You see, I'm not conforming to the world. I'm just not following the Word of God. You're conformed to one place or the other. You either love God or you love the things of this world. And your life is patterning after someone or something, isn't it? You're patterning your life. What you're listening to is what you are saying. What you are watching is what you start acting like. The people that you spend time with, you start looking and acting like those people. Why? Because we are constantly patterning our lives after someone or something. And if we are presenting our lives before the Lord, we are following the pattern that God has given to us, not the pattern the world is giving to us. Look at the pattern of where the world is going. Think about it. Think about the pattern of the world's music and conduct and actions and what they do. Do you want to go that route in your life? Do you want to follow that pattern? You could follow it, right? You could write the pattern out. You could write a formula for success or failure. Success is found by following the Word of God, and failure, destruction, by following the world's pattern. But too many times we're foolish enough to think, I can follow the world's pattern, but I'm not going to go to a life of destruction. To be not conformed, the Bible says, to this world. But it says this, but be ye what? Transformed. To be transformed is to be changed into another form. See, when I got saved, God changed my life. Amen? God changed my life. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. And you are transformed. I have a new home. I have a new hope. I have a new direction for my life. And I'm transformed, that God is changing my life into another form. The Bible says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, here's the problem that many times we think, well, if I follow God and His Word, I'm never going to have any fun in life. If I follow God and His Word, I'm going to be miserable. If I follow God and His Word, I'm never going to have any friends, never any hope. That is what the devil tries to tell you, isn't it? Trying to tell you, if you do what if you follow the world's pattern, you're going to have all the friends, all the money, you're going to have all that stuff. Isn't that what they tell you? But if you follow what God says, you're going to have nothing. And it's so opposite. The Bible says if you follow God, you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you notice, the Bible says in verse number 1 that you must present your body to the Lord first. And then in verse number 2, it says that there is then a renewing of your mind. If you present your body to the Lord, there's a renewing of your mind, that God changes your thinking. God changes your life. See, these verses are truly about true and full surrender and submission to the Lord. Are you there in your life? Is there any area of your life? And you could lay it all on the table. You could lay it all on the table and say, is there any area in my life, God, that I have not fully surrendered to you? Or is there one area you say, God, you can have all these areas, but this one I'm keeping for myself because I like this one. Because no one knows about it, no one sees it, or because somehow we have justified that these are okay in our life and that God doesn't need to mess with these areas, that they're okay. Is God okay with that in our lives, of having partial control of our lives? See, God wants full control of our lives. Why? So that God can bless your life. See, our thinking many times is this, well, if I surrender to God, then I have nothing left. Then I don't have any joy and peace, and I have no friends or money and all the things. No, you give your life to God, and God will bless you with so much more back. And in the area of your music, again, if we go back there, and you say, God, am I fully surrendered in the area of my music to the Lord? Am I fully surrendered? Let's look at what the Bible says about the area of surrender in your life. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Turn there, if you would, please. Real quick, we're going to look at a few scripture passages about this area of surrender. Because here's the thing, if your heart is not surrendered and right before the Lord, then the other areas of your life will never be right with God. When your heart is right, you say, God, nothing is off limits. You can change whatever. You can point me in whatever direction that you want. God, everything is yours. Then there's no battle. Then there's no fight. In 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it says, whether therefore you eat, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do, what's the next word? All to the glory of God. See, God doesn't want partial surrender. God's not okay with mostly being right and just keeping back the hidden sins, the things that we like. God wants that we would have, that we would do all to the glory of God. You say, well, most of my music is right. Well, what about the rest of it? I'm okay with that part, but I really like this style of music. And God says that all should give glory to God. Let me ask you this. If it's not giving glory to God, who's it giving glory to? You say, well, it's not really Christian music. It's not really giving glory to God, but it's not the devil's music. Who's it giving glory to? It's glorifying Satan or sin or the things of this world to some extent, and it is not giving glory to God. Are you surrendered in the area of your music? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn one book over, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. You might have guessed we were going here. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says here, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye," what's the next word? "Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Too many times we do in our lives is we say, okay, God, if this is full surrender to the Lord, this is living in the will of God, wholly acceptable, pleasing in the sight of God. And we say over here is living a life of sin and filth and wickedness that we would all agree is not right. But here's what we do many times. We get saved, we surrender to God, but instead of getting fully right with God, instead of getting it fully clean and right with God, what we do is we come about halfway. Right? We come about halfway and say, God, I'm not quite living in the world. I'm not listening to the really bad music. I'm just listening to the kind of bad music. Right? I'm not listening to really bad music. They throw the name Jesus in there every once in a while. So I know it's not quite right. I'm not fully surrendered, but I'm trying to put the pieces together of the spiritual and the sinful, and I've kind of made my own decision in this area. And the Bible says this here, to not be unequally yoked. It says, what communion hath light with darkness? Again, we're trying to play both sides of the fence sometimes and saying, well, God, I'm partially surrendered in this area. I'm halfway right, and as long as I'm not as bad as it was or as others are, then I'm okay with it. Is that what God says? No, it's not. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, what do the Israelites do? They come out of bondage in Egypt, and they don't want to go all the way. They say, no, we want to go back. We like the food there. And they had the music and the jewelry and all the things of Egypt. But God had a new place for them. He had the promised land. He wanted them to come all the way to that area of surrender and blessing. But they didn't want to quite go all the way. In your life, are there some areas where you say, I've come partway surrender? I've got things somewhat right with God, but I don't want to get all the way there. I mean, I don't want to be like weirdo surrender to God, right? Even in church, I don't want to be that person that is like, you know, you can't say or do anything around them because they want to be right with God. Well, that would be a bad thing to do, wouldn't it? Right? To be fully right with God, that would be incredible. Philippians 4:8, I want you to turn there, please. Philippians, we're continuing back here through the Word of God, and this will be our last scripture for this portion here, but in Philippians 4 and verse number 8, the area of our music, being surrendered, I want you to take this verse and apply it to the area of your music. The Bible says, finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Does your music pass the test of those 8 points in Philippians 4:8, the godly test of things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and virtue and praise? The Bible says, why? If you do those things, you'll think on these things. Is anything in your life off limits to God? Off limits. You know that boy that has his room or a fort maybe? And what does that boy put on his fort or on his room, right? No girls allowed. Why? Because girls have cooties. Until you get a little bit older and you realize they don't have cooties, and then, you know, something changes there. But at some point, the boys say, no girls allowed. You're not ruining my fort and my room. It's already probably messy and smelly enough. They couldn't mess it up any more than that. But the boys saying what? Don't come in. You're not allowed. Very clear written on the door. Maybe it's the girl that says, don't play with my jewelry and makeup. And boys should have no reason playing with the girl's jewelry and makeup. Some haven't figured that out. But don't touch. It's kind of like a lady's purse, right? I asked my wife, honey, where is this? In my purse. You know what I do? Here's your purse, right? I'm not going in there. That's the no man zone right there. Even if you wanted to find it, you can't find it. It could be in the pouch she told you, but you're not going to find it anyway, right? Because that's off limits. Maybe men, your off limits is your tools. Your tools, right? And the kids still know if they come home, don't mess with dad's tools. They're in the right place, and they're clean, and they're working. And if someone messes with it, you're never going to find it again. It's going to be rusted in the yard. Why? Because someone messed with your tools. Or maybe your collection or your golf clubs, right? Or your car. You have your off limits where the kids in the house know, don't touch dad's stuff or you're going to be in trouble. Right? Ladies, you have your off limits. Don't touch the special dishes, decorations, or they'll all break, right? You're like, this is why we can't have nice things, because people are messing with mom's things. Everyone has their don't touch items. Don't mess with it. It's mine. It has a certain place where I put it, and I want to find it again. If you touch it and you move it, I'll never find it. Thankfully, now they have these air tags and find your phone and all these things. And you just have to, like, silence the house to listen for the beeping of where it might be. But in your life, do you have areas where you say, God, I want to be right in all these areas, but don't touch this one? You know, many times Christians have those areas where you say, I'm mostly surrendered, but just don't touch this area. Don't open that door. Don't go in that closet. Don't look back there because that's mine, God. You can't have it. Are you fully surrendered in the area of your music before the Lord? You wouldn't say that to God out loud. God, don't change it, but you don't want God to change it. You wouldn't say, I don't want to get it right, but you really don't want to get it right, maybe. What's some wrong thinking about music? First is this, music doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. Music doesn't affect me, it doesn't matter. I enjoy it. It doesn't change my spirit, it doesn't change my actions, it doesn't change my friendships, it doesn't change anything. I just like my music. Well, let's listen to what the world says about music. All right, this isn't Christian, this isn't biblical, none of these people walk with God. This is what the world says about how music does matter. Bob Marley says this, one good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. Jimi Hendrix says, music doesn't lie. If there is something to be changed in the world, then it can only happen through music. I could name a bunch of names. I don't really know who they all are, so maybe I shouldn't even name them. And another one says this, music can change the world because it can change people. Marilyn Manson says this, music is the strongest form of magic. Another says this, the world's most famous and popular language is music. Another one says this, music is the soundtrack of your life. Another says this, music is very spiritual. It has the power to bring people together. Another one says this, music is the soundtrack to every good and bad time we will ever have. Think about that. Another one says this, music is my religion. It's my religion. It's my God, in other words. Another one says this, rock and roll keeps you in a constant state of juvenile delinquency. I read some others and had to stop reading because they get so vulgar the more that you read of the comments that the world says about music. They understand the power and the influence of music in our lives, but how foolishly do we as Christians say, it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect me. The person that wrote that song does not believe that. The person that created the album and put the rhythm to those notes does not believe that. How foolishly Could we think that we listen to their music and it does not affect me? When they say, music is my religion. It's my God. It's the most powerful form of magic. That if you want to change the world, you can do it through music. Think about that for a minute. When we say, my music doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I listen to in my car, on my earbuds. There used to be a time where you could listen to music in your car or at your house, or if you carried around a big radio. Now you look around, everybody has an earbud as they're walking around, don't they? And as you walk around and you go to talk to people and you thought they were talking to you, but they're talking to the person in their ear and you don't even know, are you talking to me now? You're like, are you getting my, nope, okay. And people are constantly listening to music all the time. It's becoming more and more of a powerful tool that the devil is using, but that God created for good. And when God creates anything for good, Satan will always have a decoy. He will always change it. Music does matter, and music does affect our hearts and our life. You realize this, that music is cataloged in your brain, and it doesn't go away. I can prove it. You go into a store, and there might be a song you haven't heard in 20 years, 50 years, and you go in the store, and you hear that tune, and you hear the first few words, and you could finish the song, right? You could sing it. You could maybe even dance it. Don't do either of those, by the way. But it's cataloged in your brain because music is a powerful tool that it sticks with you, doesn't it? It's powerful. It sticks in your heart and in your mind. And when you go into the grocery store, into the restaurant, and they target audiences to try to bring you in, to influence you to buy more, to stay longer, because music does affect us. And what goes in affects our heart. It affects our mind. It affects our lives. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What we put in our lives is going to come out. It will affect us. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what goes in, it does affect my heart, and what affects my heart affects my life. You say, well, I know it matters, but you're not talking about my music. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. It's better to hear the rebuke of wise than the song of fools. People singing about foolishness. Have you ever stopped to even listen to the words and the message of what is being taught through music? Have you ever stopped and thought about it? Thought about the music, and you could go into many more details about it. Music is powerful. Music is powerful in a good way as well. You sing, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, what I an awesome wonder. And you start singing about how great God is and singing about amazing grace and great is thy faithfulness. That moves your heart, doesn't it? It moves you. It should make you think about God and your salvation and living for God. Our music affects you. Number two is this. Wrong thinking about music. I have my church music and my own music. I have my church music and my own music. I know we sing this at church, but I have my own music when I go home. You say that music is good for church and when I'm doing Christian things, but I have my own music when I'm doing the rest of my things in life. So, has God called us to be part-time Christians? Has God called us to be surrendered only certain times of our life or certain days when we go to certain places? Or does God want every area of your life? Should we live and look and act like a Christian on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday and throughout the week? Let me ask you this. What if we were to, I'm not going to do this, so don't get scared, all right? But what if we went into your car or to your playlist and turned on the music that's on there? First thing that pops up. Most recent searches or whatever's preset in there. Would Christ be honored with that music? I hope that he would. You can go in my car right now, and you could turn on the music anytime. And sometimes it goes to the default station that I cannot change the station on that, and I turn off of that one. But you could turn on any time, And that's music pleasing to the ears and the heart of God. Let me ask you this. I want you to think about this. If your music that you listen to on a daily basis, would you come to church here if that music was played here this coming Sunday? Think about it. If your music was played here, I could be wrong, but I would think that for many people, you would say, I would not go to that church if they played that music Sunday morning this next Sunday. And we got a band up here and started singing the oldies, started playing the country or the soft rock or the contemporary Christian music. You'd say, I wouldn't go there. So why is it okay on Monday if it's not good on Sunday? Right? Why is it okay personally if it's not okay publicly? Okay, again, the hypocritical life of saying, well, I act this way here, but this way there. Well, that's not right. See, God wants all of my life. Amen? God wants all of my heart. Nothing off limits to God. It's all God's. Every bit of it. God can change any part of it. The Bible says in Psalms 40, verse 2, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And God has saved us from a horrible life of sin, every one of us from the youngest to the oldest. And He hath put a new song in my mouth. Amen? A new song. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. See, God brought me up. It was this side. This was the horrible pit side. God brought me up out of this horrible pit. Why would I want to go back there to find the pleasures of this world when God has a whole new life ahead here for me, right? God's blessings forevermore. Why would I want to go to dig stuff out from the world when I have a new song? I have a new direction. I have a new God. I have a new life. I have a new eternity. Say, well, my music doesn't affect me. Well, yes, it does. You say, well, I have my church music and my own music. Hey, it should be the same. It should be the same. I understand there's certain things that you may not play in church, not wicked or wrong, but it may not be a church music with that. But it should be pleasing to the sight of God. If Jesus was in the car with me, listening to my music, would He be pleased or would He be grieved at what He saw, at what He heard? Thirdly is this tonight, the Bible, the wrong thinking about music is this. The Bible doesn't really say much about music. All right? The Bible doesn't really say much about music. Do you realize there's over 1,000 references to music in the Bible? I think that means there's a whole lot said about music in the Word of God. You know that the largest book of your Bible is the book of Psalms, and that is a song book where God has much to say about our praise, our worship, our singing to the Lord. God has so much to say about music. We won't get into all the details of that tonight, but will in the future weeks, I believe. God has much to say about music. There's music all through the Word of God. There's music in the temple. There's music in battles and in victories and all through the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalms 105, verse 2, sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Can I sing that song to God? Can I sing the song that's in my car, on my playlist? Can I sing that to God? We should. We should be able to sing and praise the Lord. Psalms 104:33, I will sing unto the Lord. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Ephesians 5:19, speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the what? To the Lord. Our music should be sung to the Lord. See, my music is not for me. It speaks to my heart, but my music is for the Lord. It should be directed to God. Now, if I cannot direct my music to God, it is not right. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Music is a huge part of our lives. God made us musical beings. He made you to be able to sing. Well, some people, all right? To play. God made us to crave and to want music in our lives. Everyone's going to listen to something. And if you think about it, music is in everything. Everywhere that you go, there's music being played. Everything you watch, there's music being played. Every part of our lives, there's music constantly around us. I want to have the understanding of this, that music does matter. It does matter. And the area of my music should never be off limits to God. To where I say, God, you can't change it. That's mine. Because I like it. Because I want it. Well, what is that? That's the flesh speaking, not the spirit, right? That's not the spirit. That's the flesh saying, I want it. I like it. I'm going to keep it no matter what you say or do. We should say, God, it's yours. It's yours. I want it to be pleasing in your sight. I want to give you a few closing thoughts tonight that I, kind of a homework assignment, if you will. You say, I'm not in school, I understand, but I want to give you a few thoughts because we have a few more messages about the area of music this month. The first one is this. First one is this. I want to challenge you to take out every worldly form of music in your life. You say, I don't have any. You ever been in your home, and all of a sudden there's music playing from your living room, and you go, what is playing in there? And it's your TV running. One of the most dangerous things you can do in your home is turn the TV on and just let it run. And just let it go. Why? Because you don't know what's coming on next. One of the most dangerous things about television is the commercials. Hopefully you're not purposefully turning on wicked shows. We shouldn't do that. But you have no idea what's coming on the next commercial. And guess what? If you have young people in your house, they're watching that. They're listening to it. You say, I'm not listening to wrong music. If you're not constantly trying to keep ungodly music out of your life, you're not doing your job. Constantly muting, turning it off, changing it, guarding and pushing that sin, that sinful music out of your life. I want to challenge you this week, every time, to get rid of it. Maybe it means going through a playlist and deleting albums and songs that should not be on there. Deleting it. Maybe it's deleting the subscription completely because you can't get victory over that area. Just to get rid of it. I challenge you for a month to give God your music. I dare you. Double dog, triple dog dare you, whatever I can do. I dare you for 30 days to say, God, you can have it. I'm not listening to it. I challenge you to delete it, to throw it away, to mute it, to clear it, whatever it may be, to get rid of it in your life. Number two, I challenge you to do this. Put good and godly music back in its place. To get some CDs or find a godly radio station of good and godly music to put in your life. And I challenge you, when you take the wrong out, to put the good music in its place. Guess what? Your flesh isn't going to like it. Right? Your flesh isn't going to like it. You're going to think, oh, I've got to listen to this music all the time. God starts changing your heart and your spirit and pointing it back to the Lord. Put good and godly music in your home, in your car, on your phone, for your children, and put godly music all around you in your life. For 30 days, I challenge you to do it. And then number three is this. I challenge you this. As you put godly music in your life, to listen to and to sing godly music throughout your day. Throughout your day. You say, I can't listen to music all the time. Put a song in your heart. We should have praise on our lips and a song in our heart at all times. And get a song in your heart. Maybe get a song for the day. God puts a song in your heart and let that carry you throughout your day. Music is powerful. It's powerful. You take the wrong and you get rid of it. You don't put it aside for next week, or you say, I'm going to try it for 30 days, but I'm going to keep my music here for when I come back. Don't do that. Get rid of it. Smash it, throw it away, delete it, whatever it may be you have to do. Get rid of it and put good and godly music in its place. And then throughout the day, listen to and sing godly spiritual music throughout your day. Is there any area you say, God, this is off limits? You say, and maybe it's not the area of music that God is pointing your heart to, but specifically for the message, is there any area of my music that is not pleasing to God? Would we let God have control of our lives? God should have the veto power, right? God should have the say. Would you literally lay that open before the Lord and say, God, are you pleased with this? Would I listen to this if you were in the car with me? If I was in church? If whoever was with me, would I listen to this or not? Well, let's get rid of it then. Why would you let that be the anchor to hold you back in your Christian life? The anchor from keeping you from moving on, for many people, that's the area of music. The Bible says that we should be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It should be pleasing in the sight of God. Head bowed, eyes closed, please. Tonight, we'll have an invitation time this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to examine our lives.